Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It is 106. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. And I brushed my teeth and cleaned up because we got a guest in the house. The one and only Eric Escala is back home. The man himself, he and his scarf are in the building.
I just happened to be walking by the studio and she grabbed me and said, get in here.
So. And he has agreed to stay with me until 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
I don't think he really has a choice, but I'm not going to tell him that to his face. We got 2 whole hours of the Shaletta Show, and I can't wait for you to meet my next guest. Many of you know her as the woke coach, Sina Hodges, award-winning thought leader right here in the Twin Cities, is joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Miss Sina, I have not seen you in 2025, so I don't care what Chad Hartman says. I'm going to tell you Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Shaletta. Happy New Year, sis. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I want to introduce you to my friend, Eric Escala.
Sina, how are
Hi,
you?
Eric.
Sina, how are you?
I'm so good. If Shaletta grabs you out of the hallway, you must be important.
He is. He was on the street, actually. He was at the bus stop. I got him, girl.
She said jump, and I said, how high?
Listen, you know, we need a lot more of that. Black women need a lot more of that right now.
Okay, and I was just telling Eric what we were going to talk about because you put a post up on LinkedIn the other day that was an entire sermon series. You could have done a Wednesday night Bible study on that, and it was about 2 minutes, but it spoke to my spirit and so many other women of color could identify with it. Can you share with Eric and the class what you said on social media in that video that has now gone viral?
Absolutely, absolutely. What I was thinking about is boundaries. But mostly I was talking about Michelle Obama and her decision to not attend the inauguration on Monday. And not only did she decide not to attend, she decided to not explain why she was going to miss the inauguration. And I think it's important that as we are moving into 2025 with different energy, that we start to create boundaries for ourselves that are healthy boundaries. You know, now boundaries don't mean, no, I'm not doing things. It means I'm doing what's healthy for me, what's right for me, what makes me feel good, and recognizing that we don't owe people explanations for how we choose to move through the world if we're protecting our time, our energy, and our spirit. That's essentially what I put up.
And what made you feel like you wanted to share that? Did you have an epiphany? Was it an awakening? Because I know you go out and do so much coaching. They call you the woke coach. You over at Clockwork educating people there. You go to companies and you work with C-suite executives. And you've been doing this work for a number of years now. You've won several awards. And anytime I am in a workshop or a seminar where you are leading the discussion, I always leave feeling more enlightened and more educated, more inspired. But what inspired you to do this video?
You know, sadly, the thing that ends up inspiring a lot of Black women specifically is we hit the wall. So, Letta, I will name right now for you that last year was not a great year for me. And I didn't even recognize it until November. What I'm saying is that I was exhausted. I was tired. I was running around. I was doing all these things for Peter, Paul, and everybody else. And when I finally realized, I was burnt out. I hadn't even considered that that would be a possibility, but I was burnt the heck out. So there was no more that I could give to other people. And what I read over the break, I read this wonderful book. It's called Finding Boundaries, Seeking Peace. And I'll send you the link. But it was a book that released me from feeling obligated to doing all the things that we feel obligated to do, and really to prioritize my own mental clarity and my own self-care. And funny enough, you know, you look at that video, and I laughed about it with some of my friends, because in that video, I got my hair tied up. I have, like, no makeup on. It is just plain Cena. And for me, it was really important in that moment to just share how I was feeling, because it was what she said was resonating with me. And as I'm on this journey of creating stronger boundaries for myself, I was like, I thank you, Michelle Obama, for modeling that and making it okay.
Could we define our terms? What is a good working definition of woke?
Oh, absolutely. So here's what I like to talk about when I talk about woke, Eric. Essentially, each of us has our own lived experience. So if I say, Eric, what happens at a powwow? And you say, I don't know. I've never been to a powwow. That's not good or bad or otherwise. It just is. You've just never been. And that's okay. And we're not judging you because you haven't been there. The other thing is that we have to recognize that nobody has the quintessential lived experience. While, you know, Shaletta is everywhere and doing a lot of things and in the community, Shaletta has probably got a lot going on. And everybody doesn't need or want to be exactly like Shaletta, right? Or no one wants to be exactly like Cena or Beyonce or any number of people, right? So with the understanding that we're just the sum of the things that we've lived, and everybody has a different lived experience, it's important that we awaken to the experiences of other people. I can contextualize it for you really quickly. I love to go on airplanes and fly places. But the number one thing that I always do is I have this heavy bag because I like to pack stuff, because just in case. But essentially what happens is that when I get to the airport, the first thing I do is I look for the curb cut. And that curb cut is there because of the Americans with Disabilities Act. So it's a clear example of how when we wake up to the experiences and the needs of other people, that we can actually create solutions that serve everyone. So that's what it means to be woke.
How did the term become so politically charged?
I think, if you want my honest opinion, I think it's because people are looking for new ways to say the N-word without saying it.
Dude, okay, I'm on the floor. I fell out. I fell all the way out. I fell out.
Yeah.
You just gonna tell him the truth like that? You should have said, hey, sit down, I got something to tell you. You don't just drop it on the man like that. You say, hey,
sit down.
Hey, sit down. She got something to tell you. But this happens a lot, Eric. And let me just interject here. Do you remember when the term thug became popular a few years ago? They were calling people thugs.
Yeah.
And it's just every now and again they get a word. The mm-hmm. gay people who mm-hmm. can't say the N word mm-hmm. in public, and they use that word instead of the N word. But really, in their heart, that's what they think and would like to say, but they know they can't.
Yes.
So they find a word, pick that word, and then that's it, and they run with it.
Absolutely. And also, Eric, to scapegoat anything that makes them uncomfortable.
But there were a bunch of companies in the aftermath of the George Floyd death that sort of, quote-unquote, became woke. And that's does that seem to be fading a little bit? Or?
Oh, absolutely. You know, here's the thing. It's fashionable when it's fashionable, right? When people need you and you are staring it in the face, think about it this way. In Minnesota, we have a great number of Fortune 500 companies. And Minnesota is also the place where George Floyd was egregiously murdered. So you can't be in the place where the thing happened and not address it. You also have employees who are impacted by this. So there's a lot of things that need to happen. So, you know, I hit the floor like Shaletta just did when the day after the murder of George Floyd, I opened Amazon and there's a big Black Lives Matter banner across the top of Amazon. And I think that was a moment of collective recognition that we had some repairing to do. But as is always with sometimes work that is difficult, where you have to do a lot of unpacking, people get tired. And that fatigue starts to set in, and then they say, well, you know, somebody will do it, right? And so when you say somebody will do it, then anybody will do it, and then nobody does it, right? So it starts to fade away.
I don't know if you saw Shaletta's op-ed in the paper this past week, but that, Shaletta, that was kind of the theme you had, wasn't it?
Yeah, that, you know, one of the quotes that I have there that, you know, I hadn't said publicly or out loud to anybody who wasn't a black woman, but black women are tired of people playing in our faces and playing politics.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
coming around every 4 years saying how important we are and how it's, you know, dire that we get out to vote and get us engaged and mobilized. And then, you know, after people get elected or not, you know, they turn their backs on us until 4 years later. And then they come back and tell us how important we are and how we matter. And then, you know, once they get elected or not. And so we've been going through this cycle. That I remember this is how old I was, Eric, when I remember that this was a cycle and nothing was going to change or be done. I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
I was 12 years old. Ooh. I was at Siloam Memorial United Methodist Church. My grandmother had been cooking until her feet were swollen and she could hardly stand. My great-grandmother was cleaning the church from top to bottom because the woman, Kathy Whitmire, who was running for mayor, was coming to visit. And she came and she patted us on the head and we took Polaroid pictures, Cena, and she told us how important our church was, and the church was filled to the rafters, and she stayed after and she told us that we mattered, and we did not see that woman again for 4 years. And then we did not see the next mayor again until Lee Brown ran. That was 4 years later. And then we didn't see the next politician until 4 years. And I was 12 years old when I realized this is a hustle. These people are using us. And we keep falling right back into the same trap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an exercise in understanding what's at stake. And I think, you know, think about it this way. Because black women suffer from sometimes racism, but also sexism, it puts us in a very different position than a lot of other people. And because we have that, we have to contend with intersectionality in that way, we think about the most critical issues more critically. Whereas someone can only, you know, have to worry about their racial identity, or someone might only have to worry about their gender identity, we have to think about both of those things constantly. And I tell my friends, you know, the black women that I'm in circles with right now, we say 2025 is the year of crossing our arms and our ankles.
Okay.
And we mean that.
Okay, hold on. We're going to take a quick commercial break because Eric is puzzled. He don't know what we're talking about right now because he's only been hanging out with me for 3.5 hours. So he does not. He's not fluent in black women. Chad Hartman is fluent in black women. Eric Escala, not so much. So we're going to have to do some translating for Eric when we come back. Woo! Okay, now, Eric Escala, when I was doing my almanac last week, I saw you. You enjoyed it. I was doing my Beyonce. It was the Shaletta Bowl on almanac.
That's available on tpt.org/almanac. You can see Shaletta with the Beyonce tribute.
Yes, yes. I saw you chuckle. I saw you. It was a little funny.
I was yucking it up. Yeah. No doubt about it.
And we are yucking it up with Cena Hodges, the woke coach, right here on the Shaletta Show. It is 1:22. She is continuing her conversation about a viral video she put up on LinkedIn. And you said something that blew Eric away, girl. We had to go to commercial break and keep our composure. And you got to give anybody just now tuning in that quote again.
Yes, I said that. The black women that I've been speaking to in right now, 2025, we say this is the year of crossing our arms and our ankles.
What's the ankle part?
So if you're sitting in a chair, are you sitting in a chair right now, Eric?
Yes, ma'am.
Just put one of your feet on top of the other.
Okay, I've done that.
Yeah, and then sit back a little bit,
okay.
And then just cross your arms across your chest.
All right, I've done that.
Yeah, so can you breathe deeper?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing it.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what I'm doing in 2025.
So we're not going to be marching.
Mm-mm,
we're not going to be marching for democracy.
No.
Because the time to march was in the voting booth. We're not going to be protesting for
how do
you.
How do you know when that attitude is self-defeating?
I'll say this. If there are, I think there may be some circumstances that might allow for me to move out of my seated position. But they're going to be probably few and far between, and probably for the benefit of people who have worked really hard and need my support in this moment. But I'm not going to jump to action for every single solitary thing that happens, because that is hard. And, you know, self-defeating. Go ahead. Sorry, Eric. Go ahead.
What fills the vacuum then?
Y'all fill the vacuum. We've done our part. I mean, black women, Fannie Lou Hamer and Josie Johnson and so many other black women mm-hmm. have risked their lives to try to save and preserve democracy, voting rights, and so many other things in this country. And anytime somebody says injustice or anything like that, we jump up, we mobilize, we come together, we march, we protest, we do all this stuff. We leave our families behind. We leave our children. We leave our jobs. We take vacation time. And we try to go and get the wrong righted, right? And so mm-hmm. now we're saying, if you want to fix it, you go ahead. We'll be right here. We'll pray for you. Thoughts and prayers. We'll sit mm-hmm. over here and think mm-hmm. about you, and we will pray. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to be putting our blood pressure on the line every time you have mm-hmm. a crisis.
And also, just to put a finer point on that, Tisha Letta, Eric, you said who's going to fill the vacuum. And the reality of that is you said something that's just so genius. The reality of the situation is that people have not had to feel the fact that there is a vacuum because black women have been constantly laboring. So what's going to happen is that while we tap out, you're actually going to recognize that there is a vacuum and then hopefully recognize that there's something that you can do. Right? Because right now what has happened is we've been filling it up so much that you haven't even recognized that that there are things that need to be done because we've been holding it up.
It's funny, in the political world where I come from, the Democrats always say the backbone of our party is the black woman.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. yet there's a certain amount of don't take us for granted, or you do take us for granted. Is that kind of the
yes.
idea?
Absolutely. Yes, it does happen. It happens in many relationships with people and black women that we get taken for granted in those situations and scenarios. And we are created to, you know, I gave a talk yesterday and I talked about the fact that a lot of times in some of our families, we love our sons, but we raise our daughters. Meaning that there's this constant obligation when it comes to one being a woman, of course, but also if you're a woman of color or a black woman, there are obligations. If you're the oldest black daughter in a family, your plate is so full. Mm-hmm. Or conversely, if you're the youngest black daughter in a family, your plate is so full. So there are a lot of things, Eric, that are happening culturally that people don't even understand about our families on a day-to-day basis that we're contending with. And that's in our personal lives. Then we got our professional lives. Then we've got our civic lives. So there's a lot that we're doing and a lot that we're exporting. And a lot of times what's happening is that we're not getting to import nearly as much as we export.
And you know what? I hope, Eric, when you talk about the vacuum that was so genius and brilliant of you to say, I hope that people will realize the value that black women have brought and continue to bring to this country, because there hasn't been a vacuum. You know, a lot of times we are taken for granted. Our expertise is taken for granted. Our contributions are taken for granted. And when it's not there, then maybe somebody will see the worth and value in what we bring to the table and mm-hmm. then begin to mm-hmm. appreciate that. And I know for me, I'm not going into spaces anymore where I'm tolerated. I'm only going into spaces where I'm celebrated. So if you are only going to tolerate me because of my talent, or that I can fill your room or bring more people or help your business grow, and you want to, I don't even take everybody as a client, right?
Yeah.
For my company, I do marketing, I do public relations, I do promotions, I do production. There's some people that I won't take their money because I know they're only working with me. And they really wouldn't otherwise work with me if I couldn't deliver in the way that I do. So I'll tell them, you know, I don't think this is a good fit. And I would never turn down money before. But now I'm only working with people who are going to celebrate me and appreciate the work that I do.
So how big an inflection point is this now to a new dynamic, a new paradigm, whatever you want to say?
You know, we are not doing what our mothers did. My mother worked at the same job for 48 years. She never got a promotion. She trained every supervisor she ever worked with. She did not complain. She stayed there. She did not make waves. She did not want to be a problem or a burden on her employer. She worked sick. She rode the bus if her car broke down and nobody ever knew it. She buried her mama in the morning and was at work that night. So black women have done this and been overworked and underpaid for a long time, and their daughters are no longer doing that because we have options. We have options. Like I can hire Cena and Cena can hire me. I can fund Cena's events and Cena can fund my events. And so we're able to circulate the black dollar. And you and I were talking about this, in the break, during commercial, where we can circulate the black dollar and support one another and be self-sustaining. And our parents didn't have that model or see it.
Absolutely.
So they weren't able to do it. And now I see Cena doing it, so I feel like I can do it. And since I can do it, Alicia Price feels like she can do it. And since she can do it, Marsha Carter can do it. And then we look up and Devonta Pittman is doing it. And so there are like dozens of black female millionaires right here in the Twin Cities who are just riding around in 2012 nine-seaters buying cars for people. And hooking folks up because we are supporting and helping each other. So we got options today in 2025 that we did not even have in 2023.
Absolutely. And Eric, to answer your question, I want to say that I don't think we're at the apex yet, but I want to put a little data behind this. In 2020, do you know who the largest group of people who were starting businesses and leaving corporate America and any jobs that they had?
Share that with us.
It was black women. So black women have exited the workforce, the traditional workforce, and started their own businesses. And I believe that that was one of the first steps that we had to take to get to the recognition that we could sustain ourselves. And to the point that Shaletta just made about us depending on each other, we have a whole universe of and an ecosystem of us that are working in businesses that work with each other collaboratively. So we have cut out the day-to-day expectations of who we ought to be, where we ought to be, how that ought to look. And we have realized that we can do things for ourselves, you know, in a for us, by us, you know, scenario, because for so long we've been laboring on behalf of others. And so the beauty of it is that once people realize their full potential and once they start to live into that, you get a different atmosphere. You get something completely beautiful and wonderful. And at the end of the day, black women doing this for themselves actually makes it better for everyone because we've created some of these businesses that didn't exist. So there's a lot that's happening. So right now, to add on in 2025 and say that we are, you know, sipping our tea and minding our own business means that we are literally minding and mining our own businesses.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot. I've enjoyed the conversation. Thanks.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
And we'll
Thank
be right
you.
Back on the Shaletta Show.